Hello.
Hello, is this Sandy?
Yes, it is.
How are you today?
I am doing very well. Shall I put it on speaker and Eric's sitting here too?
Yes, that would
chime in.
That would be great because I know Eric probably wants to do most of the talking, right?
I'm just kidding. Like last time. Hi, Mark.
I can't believe you two guys are into this sort of thing. What happened?
We can't believe it either. But Mark, it's undeniable.
It
burns at our souls. We can't ignore it.
Gosh, I can remember us talking. What has it like 8 or 9 months ago or 10 months?
Yeah.
You know, I've been into this alternative information for years because there's so much cognitive dissonance. If you look around you and you pay attention and you look at things and you see that what your eyes and ears and your mind sees is different than what they're telling you on the news media.
Exactly.
Yes, indeed.
Mark, have you heard of a film, Sandy just showed it to me, called
Out of Shadows?
Out of Shadows.
That sounds very familiar.
Watch that, Mark. Out of Shadows.
Okay. It's not on YouTube anymore, of course, but it's at outofshadows.org.
Okay. I think I might have seen this. This sounds very familiar.
Mm-hmm. It was done by Mike Smith, who was a
stuntman
in Hollywood.
Yes.
In all the
Yes.
with Batman and James Bond and all of those. And then after an accident during his recovery, he was awakened and started seeing what was really going on and how the media of all sorts, music, movies, news, TV shows, what's on social media, that it's all controlled and giving us a narrative that is not necessarily true.
Yeah, television, they tell a vision.
I like that. I've never thought of that before.
Oh,
yeah.
You'll want to watch this, Mark.
Yes, I think I've seen it. Now that you describe it, I remember the guy being the stuntman. You know, at almost every one of my shows, I've been reading this. I assume Eric printed this. I don't know which one of you guys printed this, but it kind of gives the overview of what's going to happen in terms
the
of...
What yeah. Prepared?
Yes, be prepared, yes.
Yeah.
I dread giving those out.
Oh, do you give them out? Are you giving them out?
Oh, yes, indeed. We hand them out and put them up on the bulletin board. And they disappear. We really think that people are taking them, that they're not being policed and taken down, that people are actually taking them because they want the information.
They're right by the copy machine. I wish they'd make a copy and leave it. I had to put another one up today.
Where are you guys leaving these?
Since we're on the phone, we better not say.
That's so funny. Oh, gosh.
Sundry.
Various places. And it talks about the phase two lockdowns, the isolation facilities in December, new cases that are going to surge up, the COVID relief bills, the universal basic income, and the new virus, COVID-21.
Yeah, it's expected to arrive at. Yeah.
So this is all planned. It's totally scripted.
I just saw there's a whistleblower from the CDC that said there were a whole storage room of test kits marked COVID-19 to be used in 2019, and this was in 2017 that he saw his test kit stored away, marked COVID-19.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, yeah. That's huge. So this has been planned for years.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, even back in the year 2000.
And another interesting tidbit from the year 2017, Tony Fauci made the comment that there would be a pandemic in, and at first, what I remembered was in Trump's administration, but no. I looked at the exact quote. It says, the first Trump administration.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Dr. Pachinik, Mike Pompeo, General Flynn, all these guys have said there will be a second Trump administration.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very encouraging. I'm going with it because I prefer to think that way.
Right. Yeah.
Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about, which I thought you had also sent me another piece of paper about, some of the work of this Dr. Tim Cohen, who describes the sequencing of the COVID-19 and how they don't really actually go from the beginning to the end of the virus, that they use computer generated steps in there to kind of fill in the blanks. So we don't really have a complete picture genetically of what this virus even looks like.
Not even close. It could very easily be, and personally my opinion is, that there is no virus. They don't need a virus to make this story run. And if there were a virus, it would have been isolated and sequenced, and that would be available. But in Freedom of Information Act, the CDC has admitted that it has no samples. It does not have a sample of the virus.
For once, they're telling the truth.
So, Glenn?
You broke up there.
Sorry, we're getting another call coming in. It's going to be...
That's all right.
It's
probably Trump. Don't worry. He can wait.
Tom Cowan wrote called The Contagion Myth. I actually purchased it. I pre-ordered it on Amazon, so I bought it through Amazon. But I understand that Amazon will no longer carry the book or sell it because it's counter to the narrative.
Tim Cowan.
It's Tom Cowan.
Tom Cowan.
Yes. He wrote a book called The Contagion Myth that is basically debunking all of germ theory and telling how there is another narrative that can explain what's happening. A lot of it, he thinks, is electromagnetic fields.
All that, and yeah. Yes.
Another book, which you've probably heard of, called The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg. And that's all about the history of the development of electricity and all the upgrades. Every time there's a shift, a major shift in the electromagnetic fields, there is a pandemic.
Wow. Let's talk about this a little bit. I want to go back to where you said there is no virus. I don't know if you've ever heard of David Icke, but he says the same thing.
Yes, I am familiar with David Icke. And
so you've gone way down the rabbit hole here from a year ago being, you know, completely oblivious to this whole subculture. Now you're listening to David Icke, who's...
You've done to me.
But David is, he goes way down the rabbit hole, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
So he totally agrees with what you're saying, that there really is no virus.
right. John Rappaport also is very staunchly championing the story that there is no virus.
So if that's true, this is a psyop. It's a psychological operation.
Totally.
Wow, that's a thought. That's really a thought.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think. I've always been of the mind that there was a real virus, but maybe the pandemic was actually just, you know, kind of blown way out of proportion. But the more I hear, I just wonder really maybe if there is not even a virus. Now, there are people that are dying and things like that, but there are always people dying.
Right.
And the test, and I think it's always important to go back to the test, because the test doesn't really test just for COVID-19. It really tests for a whole, like, family of these viruses, correct?
Yes, indeed. And the test cannot determine whether it has found a virus that is still in its protein envelope and therefore could go into a cell, or whether it's a virus that is intact but stripped of its protein, which means it's inert. Mm-hmm. It cannot cross a cell barrier, or even just snippets of viral material that have already been broken down by your immune system. There's no way to tell the difference between those three scenarios with the PCR test. It merely says we have found these genetic snippets that you're looking for.
What I have found is that most people don't even know. Even people that are kind of into this sort of thing don't really know what the PCR test is. But the guy that invented the process, the PCR process, wasn't his name Ellis? Carey?
Yes.
Okay. And he won a Nobel Prize, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, he won the Nobel Prize for the discovery of that process. And he said at the time, this is a manufacturing process and should never be used as a diagnostic tool.
So explain to people what that actually means. Shouldn't be used as a diagnostic tool.
It means you cannot really use this test to tell whether someone has an active infection.
So Carey Mullis was the man who created the PCR, the polymerase chain reaction technique. He won a Nobel Prize in 1993. And he's saying, hey, you can't use this as a test to see if someone has a virus.
Right.
And then a guy named Christian Drosten came along, and he said, I'm going to create a test using this process to see if people have COVID-19, right?
Wasn't the first one that did use the PCR process as a diagnostic test inappropriately. But yes, he was the one that put together a test that they are currently using to tell people that they have COVID-19 and have to stay home for 2 weeks. And everybody that they've ever talked to has to stay home for 2 weeks also.
Yeah. And then they go try to figure out who they talk to. It's just all so silly. Go ahead.
Part of the game is to keep everybody on edge, mm-hmm. to change the rules all the time, to follow people and make you nervous. You don't know when you're going to be told you have to go home and stay 2 weeks. Eric has a student who they got the phone call while he was here at his lesson that somebody at his school tested positive and sits close enough to him that he is not allowed to come back to school for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest problem I think we have is education. because
right.
people don't know what to think. They listen to the news, they listen to these mainstream media outlets, and somebody like you comes along with, you know, just plain old fashioned logic, and then they feel this internal dissonance. They don't know what to mm-hmm. believe. They don't know what to think, and they're just kind of lost.
Yes,
right, exactly, Mark.
Yes, but let's go back to this article by Tom Cowan, Dr. Cowan.
Sure.
Because later on, he starts out by talking about the fact that they do not have the virus. It has never been isolated. It has not been sequenced. The sequencing that's being circulated was computer generated. But then the real bombshell comes when they take that sequence of DNA, which they can manufacture in the lab, once they've decided what they think SARS-CoV-2 looks like, they can generate that. And they try to grow it in various types of tissue. And they use monkey tissue, human cell lines, several different kinds of human cell lines, liver cells, kidney cells. And the only cells that were able to grow the virus were monkey kidney cells that had been weakened with kidney toxins.
Oh, my.
So none of the human tissue would even, the virus does not replicate.
Yeah. Tell me somebody has that virus.
So.
That's really interesting.
Not infectious. It's not contagious.
So are you saying there is a virus, but it's not contagious?
No, I'm saying that even if there were a virus, their best guess at what the virus looks like is not infectious. It will not grow in human tissue.
Do you think they manufactured this virus? I mean, physically created a virus as a bioweapon?
I don't know. I know that that type of research has gone on, but I think that it was a total failure because viruses ultimately don't make people sick.
Right.
Now that's a pretty profound statement here. You know, what's funny is we're kind of conspiracy theorists now, even though we're just trying to think logically about things and to be independent in our thinking. Isn't that
mm-hmm.
strange? I mean, we're kind of like, if you pursue the truth, you become like an outcast in society. Isn't this strange?
Yes, it is.
Right.
All you're doing is trying to educate yourself. And you've taken a lot of time to really read and really try to learn and put, you know, two and two together. But it makes you into this really minority, which is so strange. What happened to the world? How did we become like this?
I know.
Well, if you watch Out of Shadows, that explains that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need to watch that movie again. I'm sure I've seen it before.
In this narrative and brought along for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I can't even watch TV once they start talking about this stuff. I just have to change the channel or just turn off the TV. I just can't handle it.
Mark, since March?
Yeah?
Seriously, we literally, not for one second, has our TV been on anything except MeTV watching Andy Griffith.
Andy Griffith. Time gone past, you know, the old days, right? That's awesome. You know, before I got married, I never had a TV.
I didn't have a TV for
30 years.
Yeah, about 30 years.
I corrupted her.
Oh, that's so funny. The other thing you brought up quickly, there's so much to cover, is five. You were about to talk about 5G, I thought, which
yes.
is, you know, that's really scary stuff.
Yes, it is. And it was developed as a weapon, and it can be targeted to kill. And I feel that the social distancing, the keeping 6 feet apart, is training us to, it's so that an individual can be picked up on the grid.
Absolutely.
If you have people clustered together, you can't tell how many people are in that cluster or who they are. But if everybody's 6 feet apart, you can see each individual person, and they can be targeted as individuals.
You know, when I look at the history of the United States, I think we're in more danger now than we've ever been. Even more danger than World War II, you know, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Way more danger than World War I, way more danger than a Civil War. We've never been in this kind of danger before.
I agree.
And this is all planned and intentional and egregiously satanic and evil.
We're really in a struggle, a battle for the control of the world.
Yes, we are. And I've heard reports from various world leaders in third world countries who say they were offered bribes to follow the program.
I've heard the third world is the most negatively affected by all this because the shutdowns hurt our economy. And then when our economy is hurt, there's like nothing left over for the third world. So they just starve. Have you heard that? I mean, there are millions and millions and millions of people starving in places like Africa now. Like the number is way. I've heard estimates that just in a year or two, our world population will shrink dramatically because of this whole thing.
Yes, and that's
it's intentional.
One of the goals.
Yeah,
I think
and
so.
And certainly the goals of the vaccine.
Well, doesn't the vaccine attack your DNA and RNA?
It will change your DNA, yes. And I want to talk a little bit about the vaccine trials.
Sure.
Because you're hearing numbers like it's 90% effective and this one is 95% effective. And statistics. And I'd like to tell you just a little bit about how they got that number and how very, very misleading it is.
Wow. Sure. Go ahead.
So the way they set up these trials, they had about 40,000 participants signed up various places around the globe, and they separated them into two groups. Half of those 40,000 received a trial vaccine, and half of them received something else, supposed to be a placebo. It might have been the substrate for the vaccine without the actual active ingredient, so to speak, or it may have been saline.
Yeah.
There was a hard battle about that. Most vaccines are tested against either another vaccine or the vaccine substrate, which already skews the results. But we'll assume that it was a saline placebo. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and we'll skew everything as much as we can toward them. All right, so they've got 20,000 participants who received the trial vaccine, 20,000 that received a placebo. Then they have to wait. All of these people were tested, and they tested negative before the trial started. They have to wait for people to develop some symptoms. Somebody right. has to get the disease.
Right.
Okay. 90.
They have to sneeze.
Right. And that's pretty much the truth. You had to have one of the symptoms. So if you had a cough, hey, you're in. If you were had a sore throat, you're in. If you had a fever, okay. Then they took those people, there, and there were 94 of them. So out of 40,000, 94 people developed symptoms. And they were tested and had a positive test result for the for COVID. Of those 94 people, 90% of them had been in the placebo group. Or 90% of them had been in the placebo group. 10% were in the vaccine group. So they're saying it's 90% effective. Because the people that got sick were in the placebo group. But those samples are so tiny. If you compare 8 sick people in the vaccine group to 20,000 people in the vaccine group that didn't get sick, and then you compare 80 people in the placebo group to the 20,000 people in the placebo group that didn't get sick, it is statistically insignificant. They got the same result.
Wow, that's kind of a weird test anyway, because if I understand what you're saying, they give the people the vaccine and they don't know if the person had the illness or not to begin with.
No, they tested everybody beforehand.
So are you saying all 40,000 people or however supposedly had it, right?
No, didn't happen.
Right. All 40,000 people had a negative PCR test before the trial started.
So let me ask you this. I want to make sure I'm understanding. Did they give the vaccine to people that were infected or not?
No. They gave the vaccine and the placebo. Everybody at the start of the trial was supposed to be healthy and clean.
Isn't that kind of a bizarre test anyway? I mean, if you want to see if something works or not, you would give the vaccine to a bunch of sick people, right?
Well, no, because the vaccine is supposed to be preventative. It's not therapeutic.
Oh, so if you get COVID-19, the vaccine is not going to cure you anyway, is what you're saying.
Right.
And right.
They even claim that.
Right. Yeah. Which brings us to another point, Mark. In all vaccines, when they say it's effective, well, you have to ask, well, what does effective mean?
Here's the definition.
Effective, even when you look it up in the dictionary, effective means it does what it was intended to do. So the way a trial is set up determines what it is they're measuring and then whether it is effective. So what they are measuring in these vaccine trials, all of them, not just Pfizer, not just Moderna, not just AstraZeneca, all of them, the goal is to reduce symptoms in mild cases. That's what effective will be. It does not reduce deaths, hospitalizations. It doesn't reduce the ability to transmit the disease from one person to another, which we don't believe happens anyway. But that's not what the vaccine is intended to do.
That's their definition of effective.
Oh, right.
It reduces
symptoms in mild cases. That's their definition of effective.
Right. Now, is that fraud?
Is that fraud?
It's so illogical, I can't even hardly speak.
And so, that's what this whole thing is like.
And then the other part of the whole vaccine picture that people aren't aware of, vaccine manufacturers have complete legal immunity. They cannot be sued, even if they purposely put something into their vaccines that they know will injure people. They cannot be sued, period. They have no liability.
I know, I've heard that too, and I've heard there's a government agency now that instead of being able to sue the vaccine manufacturer, you kind of sue the government, and the government then pays out reparations at times. And I've heard even the government's had to pay out some fairly big bucks, but it's never the vaccine manufacturer anymore. That's something that needs to be fixed. That's completely ridiculous, I think.
Yeah, how can you have a product that is mandated? The reason the vaccine manufacturers are protected is because they were getting hit with lawsuits. And they said, we're not going to make any more vaccines. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, whether they could be protected or not. The Supreme Court ruled that they should be granted immunity because vaccines are unavoidably unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Oh, wake up, Pete.
Vaccines are unavoidably unsafe.
My gosh.
And that's the truth.
Well, I can't believe a whole half an hour has gone by.
Are you flabbergasted enough?
I'm totally shocked that we've gone through a whole half an hour already. I feel like we're just getting warmed up. We're going to have to do another show, and we'll figure it out when we're going to have to do it. But I'm totally stunned here. It's going to take me a while to kind of absorb all this information. Keep doing what you're doing, and I appreciate it. I'm so glad you guys are coming on, and I'll my buddy will get this posted out on YouTube. Did you ever find the YouTube channel?
We did, yes.
Okay, good. And I'm going to keep telling people about the what's coming down the pike. Any closing statements?
Not really, just, we consider ourselves watchmen, and we have to speak what we see.
Yeah.
We can't help the truth. We just can't lie.
Wow, I like that. I like that. That is great. Well, thanks, guys. Fantastic show, and what a wonderful discussion. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, we loved it. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. We love you, man.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.